Welcome to the My Motherhood podcast, where we talk about what happens to women when they become mothers. My name is Bec Stanton, and it's so wonderful to have you with me today. Today, I wanted to talk with you about expectations, particularly the expectations that we have of our motherhood. The way that we go into something almost always determines how we'll feel about it afterwards. This week, I went camping with my sister and I had this picture in my mind about what it was going to be. This was their inaugural camping trip and we were kind of taking them along for the ride. Now, somebody did this for us, these beautiful friends of ours, when we first had our first child. They kind of swept us up, took us camping, gave us all their stuff, kind of set us, made it as comfortable as possible. And we caught the camping bug. It was so good. It felt so easy. And then over the last decade, we've slowly built our repertoire of equipment so that now we can easily just pack up and go camping. And I just had this idea that we could gift that to my sister and her family. And so we had the spare tent and we had kind of chatted beforehand about, you know, how easy it was going to be. And we had booked this site, which was right next to the toilets and like not too far from them and also close to the first pool, which was heated and it had like bouncy pillows and play equipment. So perfect for our kind of range of kids, there are kind of six kids between us. And I just had this picture of ease, relaxing, great kind of cousin, auntie, uncle time. Would put the kids to bed because they'd be absolutely smashed after a day of running around and being outdoors. They'd go to bed with the sun. And then we'd have these like lovely just hours of kind of catching up and chatting time in the evenings. That was my expectation. And what actually happened was almost the complete opposite. So little did we know, we had pitched our tents right next to the caravan dump site, which is unpleasant at the best of times. But this particular dump site was completely clogged. And people, even when it was zip tied shut by the management, they'd come and just break open the zip tie and just keep adding the contents of their caravan's bowel into the dump site. And it just overflowed. So within kind of 2.5 meters of one of my children's heads was raw sewage just spilled out onto the ground. And that's where we were sleeping. And so the smell was horrid. The challenge of having like the plumbers coming through every day, their generators running, they're pumping raw sewage out. I just cannot describe just how gross it is to be living amongst somebody else's bodily waste. So that was an obstacle to overcome, but it's one that we could overcome. We could leave the site and we could kind of move away, except that alongside the raw sewage conundrum, it was also pouring with rain and our site was flooding. And I don't like to think about what it was flooding with because that is just so much, so too gross. But underneath our tent, as you walked from the inside of our tent, you're just walking on puddle. And where I remember lying there, having scooped everything up off the floor before we went to bed one night, going, I am putting so much faith and trust in the people who have designed and made the base of my tent. Because otherwise they're going to be six wet and cold people in this tent. And it's just, we're going to have to pack up in the rain and open our squeaky trailer. And it's just going to be too hard. And not only just us, it's also going to be my sister and her family. And, you know, there's a certain kind of learnedness about camping, if you have to move fast, you can move fast. But when it's your first time, it just can be incredibly distressing. And so I was feeling for them and what was happening for them in their tent. So there was no coming out to sit and chat. There were no lovely, leisurely glasses of wine in the evening. As the rain came, everybody just bunkered in because all the chairs had gotten wet. There was nowhere to sit. Even the rain was coming in sideways, so there just wasn't anywhere dry to be. So that I wasn't expecting that. And I feel like rain when you're camping is a really great example of practicing what is mine to control, what is within my means of control, and what do I have to let go of. So kind of two kind of holiday spoiling, extremely difficult circumstances with all of these young children. But on top of that, in the last couple of days of the camping trip, my beautiful husband and my tiniest child both got sick. And so I was breastfeeding through the night. He was fevering, and we got to the last day, and we were just holding out for the last day because it was going to be sunny on that day. So like maybe something could dry before we packed it all down again. The camping trip did not go to plan. It wasn't what I expected. And as I look back on it, I go, you know what? That was probably the worst camping trip that we have ever had. And that kind of beats the one where the kids were vomiting in the tent. So I know that when I go into something with really high expectations, when things don't work out the way that I was expecting them to, sometimes I can struggle with consolidating that thought, because along the way I'm having to make all of these adjustments of my expectations. Now, parenting is a little bit like that, and motherhood in particular is like that. When I became a parent, when I became a mother, I hadn't realized how many expectations I had of this process, of my partner and of my child going into my motherhood. Now, I'm supremely optimistic, so my expectations are almost always, it'll be great, it'll be fine, so much fun, off we go. So that's my kind of general disposition, and I feel like that's kind of important to say from the get-go. You'll always find me at the supremely optimistic end of the pessimism stick. So as we think about our expectations of motherhood, I thought we might just pull back a little bit to have a think about how do we create our expectations? Like what goes into creating them? It's really important to think about these expectations because they give us something to hold on to. At times they give us something to fight for, and they give us also sometimes something to let go of, which is often an action in motherhood that can be really, really helpful for reclaiming a sense of peace and control over a situation that is definitely outside of our control. So how do we create these expectations? Let's start with kind of what an expectation is. Let's just go right back to the basics. So an expectation is a belief or an imagining, an anticipation about a certain outcome or a result in the future. It's like it's a mental projection of what an individual or what you or me, what I anticipate or assume is going to happen in a particular situation or in a particular context. Expectations can be shaped by a lot of different factors, including your personal experience, kind of what has happened before, what's happening around you, like what are your cultural norms, what does society expect of you? So, for example, during COVID, delivering a baby during COVID, there was a lot of changed expectations around what was going to happen in the delivery room, who was going to be able to visit, how many support people you could have, who was going to be permitted into the room. But it was really good to know that ahead of time so that I could prepare my children for the fact that they weren't going to meet their younger sibling for 3 days. And then I could modify my expectations around what those days were. And actually, because I knew that I wasn't going to be hosting people in my hospital room, it actually meant that I was able to bunk in with my baby a whole lot more effectively. And I, looking back now, I really cherish those days that I had with my baby because I knew that I was going to be alone with her for that stay. And so the preparation for my expectations really supported my outcome. Your expectations may also be shaped by individual perspectives, including those of your co-parent and your family, your experience around what other people have done in your family or other places that you have witnessed women becoming mothers will have a huge impact on your expectations. In fact, I was talking to someone the other day who has decided at the moment not to have children because what she hears from parents in their struggle and their suffering just sounds so horrendous. She said, why would I ever do that to myself when I have a choice and I love my life and I love what's happening around me? Why would I subject myself to that kind of suffering? The influences of the people around us definitely have an impact on what we expect going into motherhood. These expectations can range from like very specific things, like I'm expecting to be awake in the night and I'm expecting to have sore nipples, to super concrete, to more abstract in general, like I'm expecting to, the buzz after having a baby, the kind of happy hormone feeling, or I'm expecting that my marriage or my relationship is going to solidify around this child, or I'm expecting that I'm going to find a new kind of gaggle of friends at the park with all of the mothers. I'm joining a club. Our expectations can also be more abstract and general like that. And they can also extend to all different areas of our life. As we become mothers, our expectations about what's going to happen with our workplace, what job is going to be available for us when we get back, what the government is going to do in terms of paid parental leave and their subsidy, how I'm going to go to a wedding event, how am I going to go and do all of life's experiences when I am now a mother with a child, my expectation about how I'll move around a space, all of those things. We have these expectations of that. We have imaginings about what it will be like, even if we haven't fully articulated them. We do create a picture of what our future is going to be like. Our expectations that we have, they influence our emotions, they influence our behaviors and our attitudes. They shape and craft where we are moving towards and what we are aiming for, because they're what we expect to happen. And so we do move to anticipate the things that we're expecting to happen. Our expectations, they shape our perception of the world. They shape our reaction to the things that happen to us. And they have a great impact on our decision-making process because they do craft and shape the direction that we're heading in. For example, they can affect how we prepare for an event or how we interpret an outcome or how we respond to a situation. Expectations can range from being like super positive to extremely negative or very neutral, and they can impact how we experience and evaluate the world around us. So at the beginning of your motherhood journey, wherever you're at in your motherhood journey, to acknowledge the expectations that you have is extremely helpful in shaping how you feel like it's going. It's also important to note that our expectations aren't always met, and we're going to get to this. We're going to talk about this a lot. to talk about the kind of disappointment and what to do with that emotional response that we have when expectations aren't being met. But first, let's turn our attention to kind of what sort of expectations you might have. And I want to spend a little bit of time here because sometimes when you come into a topic like, what are your expectations of motherhood? It can be quite overwhelming and hard to pinpoint what your expectations are, even though you probably have them, even though without acknowledging it, without kind of consciously formulating your imaginings, you have developed some sort of picture about what motherhood is going to be for you. So what I'd like to do is take a little bit of time now to go through a list of things that you might have an expectation around, and I'm going to flesh it out just lightly. And then I would really love for you to have a little think about, like, what are your expectations around each of these points? In the show notes, there's going to be a link. There's a link to a resource, and I've created a digital resource for you so that you can do this work by yourself or with your co-parent, with your partner, to think about what are your expectations. And one of the most helpful and healthy things that you can do as a co-parent is to share the expectations that you have with one another, either so that you can realize we are on the same page, like, hey, we're hitting for the same goal, we're on the same team, or to go, look, my gosh, we have totally different ideas about this. Why don't we have a chat about that? Because this one can go to the keeper, but that one really, we need to deal with that so that we can be on the same page. You only have to look at the way that people view time in a relationship to know that this sort of thing is important. I'm a time is subjective kind of person, and my husband is a time is like concrete kind of person. So we often clash on what it means to be on time. If I'm 5 minutes after time, then I'm still technically on time as far as I'm concerned. In fact, if I'm 15 minutes late, I'm probably still on time. Whereas for Matt, if he's 15 minutes early, he's on time. And the moment it clicks past, he's late. So, you know, like I know that technically, like, he's probably right. But the way that I view time is much more relational, and the way that he views time is much more structured. But the difference that we have in that really is worth talking about, because it affects everything. The number of times that we go to leave the house together and we have a different expectation of when we are leaving, we've got to talk about that. Okay, so what type of expectations might you have? Number one, unconditional love for your child. What is your expectation about the type of love that you're going to have for your child? I know this might sound super obvious, but it's worth articulating because there will come a time when your child, and I know that beautiful angel baby that's in your arms, will turn around and tell you that they hate you and tell you that you're the worst parent in the world, and what did they deserve? What do they do to deserve a parent like you? What is your expectation of yourself and your unconditional love for your child? Articulate that. Number two, joy and fulfillment from watching your child grow and develop. Do you have an expectation around what it is going to be like, or what it is going to feel like, or how you would like to participate in your child's growth and development? Just this morning, Matt and I were having a conversation about how in the last 10 weeks, we haven't stood together enough and mutually enjoyed our children. There's this beautiful thing that happens when we are both parenting at the same time and one of our kids does something hilarious, beautiful, kind, compassionate, thoughtful, kind of totally in their character, And we just look at each other over the top of the kids' heads and like, did you see that? And like, oh yeah, look at that. Like, oh. And we mutually fall in love with our children together and enjoy our kids being themselves. And there's something in that that really enriches our parenting and enriches our family life as we mutually enjoy our children as they grow and they develop. So what are your expectations? Number three, what are your expectations about the type of bond and emotional connection that you're going to have with your child? Do you have a thought or a hope or a dream or a way that you're planning to connect with your child? And I suppose if you're coming into parenting new and afresh, perhaps you don't have the big long game in mind, because how could you? But perhaps in the first kind of 6 weeks, if you think about it in terms of the first 6 weeks, what is it that you're thinking is going to happen? What are you imagining in terms of your bond and connection with your baby? Number four, nurturing and caring for your child's physical, emotional, and mental well-being. What are your expectations in your motherhood about how you're going to take care of all of the facets of your child? What are your expectations on you as the carer of all of the facets of your child? What are your expectations on what you're going to do when they're sick? What are your expectations on what you're going to do when they have their big feelings? What are you imagining will happen? Number five, teaching your children about values, morals, and life skills. How are you imagining that you are going to teach your child the difference between kindness and cruelty, or between generosity and selfishness, or between, putting their socks through the washing together, or how to tidy their bedroom, or how to light a fire? Do you have expectations about what you are going to actively teach your kid as they grow up into their adulthood? Number six, enjoying the precious moments and milestones with your child. Do you have an expectation around what birthdays are going to look like, around what end of year celebrations are going to look like, about rites of passage or rhythms in your family home? Do you have a thought about these already? Have you imagined what you're going to do? These are beautiful things to be thinking about. Number seven, sacrificing your personal time, energy, and resources for your child. Do you have an expectation about how much you're going to give, about what being a parent will cost you? Can you imagine the way that becoming a mother is going to draw on you and pull on you and take from you? It's really worth thinking about if you have an expectation about that. Number eight, do you have an expectation about feeling a sense of purpose or a sense of fulfillment as a mother, that by becoming a mother, that being in motherhood will somehow fulfill you or fill the gap or make you more, I'm not saying these things are true, but do you have an expectation that about the role of becoming a mother will have on your sense of purpose and fulfillment as a human being? Number nine, do you have an expectation about the sense of responsibility and independence in your child? So, you are going to be completely responsible for this tiny person who will grow day by day, hour by hour, week by week, and developing their own independence? Do you have an expectation about how you're going to hold the responsibility of that role, but also hold the responsibility in a way that is your own? So you're not dependent on all of the different voices, but you are actually independent as a person, as a pair, or as an individual for the care and the charge of this person. Do you have an expectation about how you're going to, or what it's going to look like to be carrying that type of responsibility? Number 10, do you have an expectation about being a positive role model for your child? Do you have an expectation on yourself to behave a certain way or to change something about yourself so that you are what you want your child to witness, so that you are the best things in life? Do you have that, a picture of that for yourself? Maybe their sentence is like, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't do this when I'm a parent. Like, I would want my kid to know this or to witness that or to see that. Or there's a lot of talk around kind of body image and not discussing your physical appearance with your children. To take that totally off the table as a conversation topic, the way that we talk about our bodies are about their function and their strength and how they feel, but not about what they look like. What they look like is almost completely irrelevant to the way that we engage with our bodies. It's something to think about. Number 11, do you have an expectation on the type of loving and supportive family environment that you're creating around your child? Do you have thoughts and a picture about kind of family traditions that you have, or dinner table moments, or the way that you're going to engage with your unit together? Do you have thoughts about that? Number 12, do you have thoughts about how you're going to celebrate occasions and traditions with your child? And we've touched on this a little bit, but I guess I want to think a little bit more about things like weddings and things like death and things like loss. Do you have an expectation about how you're going to deal with those things together? Number 13, do you have an expectation around what it's going to be like to watch your child form their own relationships and have their own friendships? Every person comes with baggage when it comes to relationships and friendships. We all have history and we all have complications. And let me tell you, when your child starts school and someone picks on your kid, it takes you straight back to your own primary school playground, and you're having to deal with stuff now that you didn't realize you had to deal with back then. Do you have an expectation about these relationships and these friendships? I know that, just a little anecdote, I had this expectation that when my child started school, I would be so fully on board in the class, in the school. I would be fully engaged and so hands-on as a parent, and particularly coming from a teaching background, you know, knowing how a school environment is so greatly supported by a supportive parental body, that I wanted to be a joyful supporter in that space. And then I really quickly realized that my expectation of my kid being their life stage being this entry point into community engagement was going to be inappropriate for my child. So what they needed was actually a safe place to come home to and to retreat from that environment. And so I needed to not do what I was expecting to do. I needed to withdraw from the community a little bit more so that I could create pockets of safety for my child. And we ended up making big changes around their schooling because of that. But my expectation, it took me a little bit to realize that my expectation about what I was going to be like as a class mom and as a school mom was different to what my child actually needed. So Number 14, do you have expectations around encouraging your child's interests and talents and passions? Perhaps there was a way that you were raised where you were pushed to really engage or find the thing that you loved, or you were put, maybe your parents put pressure on you to pursue something in particular. Maybe excellence was your driver. What's going to happen? What do you think will happen when your child starts expressing an interest in dancing, or wants to play the piano, or wants to be a tennis star? What is your expectation? What are you anticipating about your future with your child's interests, talents, and passions in mind? Number 15, feeling a sense of pride and accomplishment in your role as a parent, as a mother. Do you have an expectation that you're going to feel proud of yourself for what you are doing, for birthing a child, for raising a child, for keeping them alive? I really feel like the first birthday is such a celebration of the parents. Like, we all gather around this child, but the party, like, parents peak at like birthday number one. It kind of goes downhill from there, where everyone realizes like, it's all right, we can just shake this off. But, you know, baby's first birthdays are amazing to go to because parents put so much effort into their first child's first birthday. And it is such a celebration. And I think it's such a celebration for the parents that we have kept this child alive for an entire year. Like, oh my goodness. Of course we did, but also, oh my gosh, we really did. We kept this beautiful, screaming, stinky, gorgeous, smiling, happy baby alive. And that is a huge accomplishment and something that's really worth celebrating. And so I feel like first birthdays are definitely a moment to recognize parents and to say, hey, you should be proud of what you've done. You have done this. The fact that we are all here today to celebrate this child is because you have done an excellent job at being their mother and their father or their co-parent. Okay, number 16, we're nearly there on our little list. Number 16, do you have an expectation around experiencing the joy of seeing your child succeed and achieve milestones? Now, this one is interesting because so many of the milestones that children achieve, they're going to achieve anyway. So babies smile, babies laugh, babies crawl, they scoot, they walk. They're heading in that direction. That's the way that they're developing. However, there is such a joy in watching your child grow and do the things that they're meant to be doing developmentally, to be achieving those milestones, is so wonderful. And in fact, it's so wonderful. Our girlfriend and I started a business when we had our six-month-old first babies, called My Baby Moments, which was to celebrate those milestones. Every milestone is worth celebrating because it's a step forward, and everybody knows that if you're moving forward, then you have the potential for healthy life. And it can be one of the greatest kind of morale killers to stop moving forward. So celebrate the small wins, because each small win is a big win in the motherhood scale of life, and particularly in your child's scale of life. So do you have an expectation about seeing the joy that you will experience in seeing your child growing and moving forward and achieving those milestones? Number 17, do you have an expectation that you're going to be providing a safe and nurturing home for your child? Do you have an expectation around what you will do to create that safety and that nurturing space? Do you have an expectation of yourself and what you're going to do with your anger and what you're going to do with your loneliness and your resentment to create that safe and nurturing home for your child? Perhaps even me saying things like your anger and your resentment makes your toes curl, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you would think that I would even ever feel that about my child. And that just tells us something about your expectation, that you're not expecting to feel those things. And so one day when you do feel them, they may come as a shock to you, and it's worth considering reflecting back on your expectations when you do have that feeling. Number 18, do you have an expectation in helping your child to navigate the difficulties and the challenges in their life? Do you have a picture in your mind or an imagining about what helping them will be like? Will it be showing them what to do? Will it be coaching them how to do it? Will it be doing it alongside together? Will you model one and then they do one? Will you swoop in and do it all for them? What is your expectation about that? Where are we up to? Number 19. Do you have an expectation about building a bond with your child that will extend into their adulthood? Where does your parenting end? Where does your relationship change? Are you expecting to have a certain type of relationship with your child in their adulthood that's different to their childhood? These are things that we will have pictures of based on what our parents' relationship with us is, and it's just worth noting those at this point. And number 20, do you have an expectation of creating lasting memories and experiences with your child? Do you have a series of things that you did in your childhood that you would love to do with your kid? Would you love to take them places or show them things or wonder with them about something or expose them to certain experiences, take them to a certain place, listen to a certain song, teach them a certain instrument, or share with them something of yourself? Do you have a projected image of that? So these are all of the expectations that I've kind of come up with that are kind of more kind of maternal or parental, and none of them are expectations that you have of your partner, and that's a whole other thing to think about. And in my show notes today with the link, click on the link and it'll provide you with a scaffold for you to think through each of these things, including some bonus questions about expectations that you have of your partner. And also expectations that you have of your child. And it's hard to think about the expectations that we have on our child until they don't meet them. And then you go, oh my gosh, yeah, no, I really did have that expectation of my child that they would sleep or that they would listen or that they would do what we were all doing until they don't do it. And then it can be a surprise. Alluded to at the beginning of this podcast, sometimes when our expectations are not met, it can result in this wide range of emotions and reactions, depending on the significance of the expectation that you had. And so I just want to run through just really quickly some of the possible outcomes when our expectations are not met. And I think it's really important to consider this, because when our expectations are not met, there are some kind of just key responses that you can notice probably before you realize that your expectations are not being met. So the first one is obviously disappointment when things haven't gone the way that you thought they would go. Often you're met with disappointment, feelings of sadness and dissatisfaction, that the disparity between what you thought was going to happen and the reality, the further away those two things are from each other, the more intense the disappointment might be. Secondly, frustration. When our expectations are not being met, we can get lots of feelings of irritation and annoyance and anger. And often we throw those at safe people like our spouse or like our co-parent, like our partner, adults who can kind of handle it, or sometimes strangers. I do feel like sometimes strangers receive the brunt of our feelings of frustration because they also are dehumanized to us and so feel safer than the people that we love. Thirdly, you might feel stressed or anxious Especially if the expectation is related to an important event or a goal or an outcome, it might trigger worry within you or uncertainty, or because you're feeling a sense of loss of control. You might also develop like a negative self-assessment. So starting to speak about yourself to yourself and about your own abilities, you might experience judgment of yourself or your worth and have that negative self-talk, throw all of those feelings of disappointment and frustration and stress and anxiety. And instead of throwing them out towards safe people, you throw them inwards onto yourself. You might also find that you have a shift in perspective or plans, that you are able to reevaluate your priorities, to adjust your goalposts and to adapt to the new circumstances. So they're not all the responses aren't always negative. You might be able to be more flexible. You might have some difficulties in communication when we have an unacknowledged expectation that is not being met. And we then have the friction circles of frustration and anger and sadness and disappointment. Then communicating about those things can often lead to misunderstandings and to conflict and breakdown in communication, particularly if our expectations with the people that we are traveling alongside are different, which is why talking about it is so important. And then finally, you might actually experience a whole lot of like a burst of resilience and growth when you realize that the expectations maybe won't be met, maybe can't be met, maybe are never going to be met. You might experience that you develop a certain set of coping skills, as well as an ability to reassess and kind of redefine your future expectations. It's really important to recognize that unmet expectations are a really natural part of life. And they may evoke negative emotions, but they can also offer amazing opportunities for learning and growth and resilience. We have this phrase in our household, which kind of comes right down to expectation. So we've set the plan for the day. Often these are days when Matt was still working full-time at the office and I had the kids at home, and oh gosh, it was just struggle street and we were having such a hard time of it. And I just had nowhere to go, and I just had nothing left in the tank. And when that happens, we would go for what we called the win-win. So what can I do right now so that it's a win for me? And what can I do right now so it's a win for my kid? Going for the win-win allowed us to kind of restore and reclaim the potential of having a mutual expectation together. Letting go of the pressure that I was experiencing or that I was under to kind of keep us going on the track that I was heading on. And instead, I hate to use the word, but pivoting towards something that was achievable for everybody. And so often it was like, you know what? The baby can't be put down. It's like they are just in arms. The toddler just wants me to play with them. Everybody's hungry. It's 3 p.m. and I haven't had a coffee yet. I haven't showered for 3 days. And I don't even know what I'm going to make for dinner. And so the win-win is more often than not on those days was plonking everyone in the pram, grabbing whatever I had in the pantry, whether it was a cucumber, whether it was a carrot, whether it was a packet of like rice cakes or whatever, grabbing some coins, and we would just leave the house. We'd go down, we'd find the horizon wherever it was. Like I felt like I just needed open spaces. And just by changing our physical environment, letting go of the list that I had in my head, going, you know what, the house will always be there. It will always need more support. and finding clean air, running around spaces, temperature change, stimulating new things. It just was the win-win. The kids thrived. We spent the rest of the day in a much more peaceful place. Sure, we came home to chaos, but I was so much more steady on my feet to deal with the physical chaos because my internal chaos had been cared for just a little bit. So, yeah, finding that win-win, it was such a great tool. And on days when I was just completely thick in raising little people, and I would speak to Matt in his lunch break and I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is just so much. I am so touched out, and it's just, there's kids everywhere, and I'm so done. I've spent all my parenting dollars today. I am done. And he would just say to me, hey Beck, like, what is the win-win? And it would just lift me up and out of my context to be able to look back at it, put my healthy adult hat back on and go, you know what? This is the win-win. I can see where the win-win is, and let's go and do that. So today we have had a lot of conversation about expectations. We talked about how do we create expectations, what type of expectations we have, and what are some of the possible responses that we can have when our expectations are not met, so that we can reflect upon those to find what were the expectations that were not met and we can make adjustments as necessary. I hope this has been helpful for you today. And like I said, please go to the show notes and grab the scaffold so that you can go away and have a think about all of these things as well for yourself and take the time to talk about them with your partner. And what I'd really love to know from you this week is which one of the different expectations really resonated with you? Which one has prompted you to think differently or anew? And is there something that you would like to share so that we can all benefit from our communal thinking around developing expectations for motherhood? That's it from me today. Go well, friends, and I look forward to seeing you over on Instagram where we can continue this conversation together. Thank you for listening to the My Motherhood podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And please do come and join the conversation over on Instagram at mymotherhoodhq.